Okay, today's daf is daf Lamed Dalet. Now, yesterday we were learning about the Machlokas, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim.
Yeah, but you
go back 2 days ago. Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim about whether someone who appoints a shliach to be toveach on Shabbos is considered to be someone who would be chayev on Tvicha u'Mechira because of the fact that yesh shliach levar aver when it comes to Tvicha u'Mechira. Or whether for some mysterious reason, according to the Chachomim, he would nonetheless be potter. Asks the Gemara on the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, where we were holding, for talking about that somebody else did the Maisa Shechita, why in the world would the Chachomim argue on Rabbi Meir, since it's unlikely that they disagree with all of the possible drushes that show us that yesh liach v'dvar aver when it comes to Tvicha u'Mechira. Answers the Gemara, Man Chachamim Rabbi Shimoni, the Yom HaShechita She'ina Ru'uya Lo Shema Shechita, the famous Rabbi Shimon, who holds that where a Shechita doesn't work to be matir the animal be'achila, or for some technical reason it doesn't work, it's not called a Shechita for anything. You're not chayev for kisui adam. There's no isra of otovet v'no. There's no chiyev of tvicha, mechira of tvicha when it comes to dalet v'hei and so on. It's simply not an act of shechita. So if it's not an act of shechita, then the rabbonim, of course, would say you're potter on arba avach hamisha, because the Torah does not say somebody who shoots an animal through the head is chayev arba avach hamisha. It's just somebody who does a ma'aser shechita, and he didn't. It wasn't tvicha. That's all. Technicality. Wait. Why is exactly is it not a kosher shechita? I mean, avodas kochavim, okay, obviously not a kosher shechita. It's also no. The shara niskal, you're not allowed to eat it. I mean, so I understand it. It's also no. The shechita doesn't achieve anything. But I don't get, what about the part about hashochet b'shabbos? You're saying the chachamim say, since we're shechar on Shabbos, and we are Rebbe Shimon after all, then it's not a kosher shechita. Since when? Shechita ruhi. Doesn't it say the Farish? It's not. Ashochet b'Shabbat of Yom HaKippurim. The Mishnah Chulin says, somebody does Shechita on a Shabbos, or does Shechita on Yom Kippur, afal pishim et chayev b'nafsho, Shechita don't shira, to kosher Shechita, even though he's chayev misa, or he's chayev koras. Very interesting, by the way, Tosfos over there in Chulin says, well, what about the problem that he becomes a min? I mean, if he's chayev tani, he's chayev b'nafsho. Here it is, Yom Kippur. The guy can't think of anything better to do on Yom Kippur than have a barbecue, fresh meat. And this guy's shechita is kosher. This is a wonderful, wonderful pshat in Tosfos. The Tosfos says that a guy who does things once is not a min. Everybody needs to know what it feels like, just once. That doesn't prove that he's a mean. Yeah. Okay. So. Yeah. That's a different issue, dashpe, but it's certainly not mean. Okay. So anyway, getting back to this, for Shabbos it says it's kosher. Ah, yes, but not everybody agrees with that. In fact, our Tana, who is Rabbi Shimon, also holds like Rabbi Yochanan Asandlar, the Tana. Somebody cooks on Shabbos. So if it was done b'shogeg, then he can immediately eat it, even on Shabbos itself. He is given a knas, he's never allowed to eat what he cooked on Shabbos. Others can eat it, but not him. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, not quite. B'shogeg, it can be eaten, it's true. But only on Matzah Shabbos. He can't be nene of what he did on Shabbos itself. On Matzah Shabbat, then he can eat it. That's true. Because we give a knas. And we, even though it's b'shogeg, we give a knas shogeg up to mezid. And b'mezid, lo yochal olamit, he's never allowed to eat it. Rabbi Yochanan Asandler says, b'shogeg, it can be eaten on Matzah Shabbat, but only for others, not for him, because we're katsin in shogeg up to mezid. But b'mezid, somebody who cooks something on Shabbos, b'mezid, it can't be eaten ever. Lo yochal olamit, lo lo v'lo la'achirim. Nobody's ever allowed to eat that thing. Ah, so then if you did the shechita on Shabbos, which is the equivalent of doing bishul on Shabbos, then nobody would be allowed to eat it, according to Rabbi Yochanan Asandler. In which case, it's a shechita she'ina ru'uya, which, according to Rabbi Shimon, who is the shechita of our Rabban and Argan Rabbi Meir, means that it's not part of ganav v'tavach. I never did a tvicha. What's the basis of Rabbi Yochanan Asandra Gedorish Rabbi Chia Pitcher Venesia? It's what Rabbi Chia pointed out when they were standing in front of the Beit HaNasi. Ushamartem et haShabbat ki Kodesh Yilachem. Why does the Torah compare the Shabbat to Kodesh? To tell you, Ma Kodesh Asur Ba'achilah, just like you're not allowed to eat something that you were Magdish Beit HaMikdash, Av Ma'aseh Shabbat Asurim Ba'achilah. Now you might say, if that's the case, Ma Kodesh is Asur Ba'achilah, has nothing to do just with Achilah. You're still not allowed to be Nene from Kodesh. So maybe Ma'aseh Shabbat Asur, even Ba'ana'ah, not only Ba'achilah, Talmud Lomar, therefore it says Kodesh, he, but Lachem, it's yours. Shalachem, it belongs to you, and if it was Asur Ba'ana'ah, then it would be not Lachem. You might think that when it comes to the dinim of Kodesh, it makes no difference whether it's B'shogeg or B'mezit. The fact is that Kodesh is Asur Ba'ana'ah, so therefore Yochel Afil B'shogeg. But look at the context of the Pasuk. Ki Kodesh Yilachem Mechalalei Amot Yumat. That means only in the context of Mechalalei Amot Yumat, which is B'mezit Amarti, that this din is true, about similarity to Kodesh and its Asur Ba'ana'ah. V'lo B'shogeg. Now, the question, so far we've settled the question by saying that according to Rabbi Shimon, we're also holding like Rabbi Yochanan Asandlar. And not only the Shechita of the Shoram Niskal is useless, not only the Shechita of Avodah Zarah is useless, but even a Shechita on Shabbat is useless, because according to Rabbi Yochanan Asandlar, you're not allowed to eat such a Shechita. But there is also a Machlokas Rabbi Vach, Rabbi Ravina, in the Shechita of Rabbi Yochanan Asandlar. Chad Omer Ma'aseh Shabbat is a Dioraita, which is the simple mashmut to the Pasuk in comparison to Kodesh. And Chad Omer, it's only the Rabbana. Man the Omer Dioraita, well, we learned that in the Pasuk. Man the Omer the Rabbana, and the Pasuk doesn't really mean that. Because it says in the Pasuk, Kodesh he Kodesh. It's specifying only Shabbos is Kodesh, and not the Ma'aseh Shabbat or Kodesh. And the Rabbana want to make it very chomer in your eyes, but it isn't really Midiraisa Osir. So if it's not Midiraisa Osir, we're back to where we started from. If it's not Midiraisa Osir, it means it's really a Tvicha, Libet Rabbi Shimon. If it's a Libet Rabbi Shimon, even a Tvicha, then why did Rabbanan argue and Rabbi Meir and say you're not Chayim and Dalet Behe? Es Figamara, so Lamandi, I'm a Drabbanan. So if you hold, it's a Drabbanan. So my time is Drabbanan the Patrick. Back to our original question. Why then did the Rabbanan argue and Rabbi Meir? Why do they say, and we're agreeing that Yeshviach Lidvar Avera and somebody else did the Tvicha, and it's a kosher Tvicha, now we're saying it's only Otsum and Rabbana, and therefore why exactly am I not Chayav? You know what? You are. The Rabbana, they weren't arguing in all three of the cases. They're arguing in two out of three of the cases of Avodah Zarah and the cases of Sharon Iskal. But the case of Shabbat, they actually would have agreed with Rabbi Meir. So, Kikapad Rabbana Ashar. You know, something else I don't understand. Okay, fine. I'm ready to accept that. But going back to what you said before, you're saying that according to Rabbi Meir, you're chayev because somebody else did the sin. When you're shochet for avodas kochavim, you did not do a tvicha, even if you don't know the Rabbi Shimon. Because the only time that you do the tvicha is where you do the tvicha of the thing that you were going to. The problem is that the moment that you make that first knach with your knife, Avodah Zarah doesn't require a kosher shechita, it requires a maisa. You did a maisa. So you started doing the shechita, you now did a maisa. At that point, it was already itzer alei. It now became aser bahana'ah. And then when you continue doing the shechita, whose animal do you think you're shechting? You're not doing shechita on the animal that was stolen. Because remember, the only thing that identifies the animal that was stolen as the animal that was stolen is the fact that the owner still owns it. You'll say, but I thought I was konet with a kinyan geneva, kinyan gezela. You were, vis-a-vis your chiyuvim for anything that might happen to it. But as long as that animal is extant, remember that the halakha of hashava requires you to give back not the value of the animal, but the actual animal. Which means that there is still a level of ownership that's b'chayav hashava. But the moment that you assert it b'hana'ah, and it's now valueless, you're not exactly going to be able to say to the guy, oh, here's your animal. This animal ain't worth a dime. Will you give me back an animal? This is assert b'hana'ah. So at that point, you became chayav in mamon for the tashlumim, not in giving back the animal. But if that's the case, when you did the shchita, you're not doing the shchita anymore of the original owner's animal. And the Torah only answered doing shchita on the animal that you stole. This may look like the animal you stole. It may smell like the animal that you stole. But it isn't the animal that you stole. It doesn't belong to the person you stole it from. So, idach ki katavach, lav demari katavach, you're no longer doing the tvicha of the animal that belonged to the guy you stole it from, and yet Rabbi Meir claims that you're bichayev arba v'chamisha. Now, how do you explain that? Omar Rava, I explain it like this. It's talking about this guy who's a big Eved Avodah Zarah, a big Talmud Chacham. So he says like this, I'm about to shecht an animal for Avodah Zarah, but I want my Avodah Zarah to be an Avodah Shlema and Tamima. Therefore, I only want the Avodah Zarah to be Chal when I complete the Shechita. Otherwise, it's not going to be a good Avodah. What is it? To make a knetch in the neck of an animal, that's called Avodah. I'm a Ratzis Gomer. So therefore, he makes a t'nai. That's the old, he doesn't hold to the era thing. Okay? So he makes a t'nai. And he's only going to do the Avodah B'gmar Tvicha. So at that point, it comes together. The moment of Avodah Zarah and the Zarkabit. Meanwhile, I did a whole Shechita. And what about the Shor HaNiskal business? A Shor HaNiskal doesn't belong to the guy either. It's Aser Ba'ana'ah. So then, if something that's Aser Ba'ana'ah, it doesn't make sense to call it. It has no value. If it has no value, it has no Ba'alut. So then, the same problem occurs. How could I be Chayav Arba Avachamisha doing a Tficha on somebody else's animal? It's basically a Hefker animal. It's not his animal. Amar Rabba, let me tell you, man. This is not a simple case. This is a really cute case. You see, he had given it over to a shomer. And this animal went ahead now and had been mazik the beit shomer. He went ahead and killed somebody while the shomer owned him. So what happened? Nigmar dinei bebeit shomer. Now, the halacha is that the shomer, of course, has to take care of the animal. In this case, the court determined that this animal is going to be killed. Before they had a chance to go and kill it, comes along this ganav and sees a great opportunity, and he steals it from the house of the shomer. And now he goes ahead and he appoints somebody else to do the tvicha. Now the question is, what's the... In this case, he doesn't have to appoint somebody else. We're just getting to the exciting part. And you taking a phone call, Abba? Come back. Come back.
It's a conference call. No, I think it's a long distance.
So what happened over here is, now you need to know, besides the interesting case, you need to know another interesting halacha. And that interesting halacha is this. The simple way we define ba'alut is when something has a value of money that is determined by its marketability. Now, obviously, a Shor HaNiskal has zero marketability, in which case you would say it therefore has no value. But there is one other determinant of value that not everybody agrees with, but of course our Tana agrees with, and that's how everything makes sense. And that other determinant is this. Something that could be used in lieu of money, although it technically has no value, does that make it money? So now let's say this shomer, if you hold that the shomer can say to the owner of the shor, here is your shor. And the owner of the shor says, here is my shor. This shor is valueless. And the shomer can nonetheless say, is this the animal that you gave me? Does it want a DNA test? What do you want me to do? This is exactly the animal you gave me. Does it look any different? Does it have a heart condition? It's in perfectly good shape. Here's your animal. I took the animal. I'm returning your animal.
And that's called Dovra Gormamon.
It's a Dovra Gormamon because to me, the Shomer, it's a return. For me, it's a Dovra Gormamon. Now, if you go ahead and steal this animal from me, what's going to happen is that I am now going to have to pay $500 for this animal. So tell me it's not worth anything. You tell me from today till tomorrow it's not worth anything. To me, it's worth $500, okay? And you went ahead as a ganav, you took it from me.
And that's the din? A chayav?
That's a machlokes, but if you hold over a goreim lemamon.
No, but No, I'm asking, once it's been ruled.
That's also machlokas. So here, he holds both shitas in this machlokas, of course, our Tana. First of all, he holds like Rabbi Yaakov. And second of all, he holds like Rabbi Shimon. He holds like Rabbi Yaakov, who says, the Omer Afbishin Agmar Dino, that even though it's after the Gemar Din, nonetheless, if Zirosh Shomer Lebaalav Muchzar, if the Shomer, the rotten ogre, that gives it back to the owner has nothing to say, and it's a good return. And he also holds of Rabbi Shimon Shita that a Davar HaGoreim LeMamon is Kemamon Dami. So now we got all in one case, all of the beautiful ingredients, which tells us that now the Tvicha of Ashar HaNizkal is basically a real Tvicha of the guy who owned it. And that's it. You stole, you shat, and therefore you're going to be chayav. The Shomer is the guy that you owned in this case. Right? So that's the one that you're stealing from. And he's never... Right. So now everything is simple.
What's this?
What you call that simple?
What's the reasoning behind the Shomer being able to return the Shomer?
There has to be something physical that is traceable in an item. In other words, the return of an item, be'en, is defined as be'en. It's extent. That's all that matters. And if I can identify it in that sense as being the animal or the item that was stolen, or in this case that was borrowed, what other thing even can we talk about? The things that are not measurable, I'm not chayav on. The same thing would be true of nezek. Let's say I made something tummy that was previously tar. That's called a it's a hezekeinu nikar, therefore in a sense I mean, it's machlokas, but to say this too is a machlokas. It's not considered to be nezek. We need to measure elements of this universe in terms of this universe, and we don't have place in this universe to detect with a tuma detector or with a chiyav misa detector that something is worthless.
If he doesn't return it, is he chayav to pay the owner?
Okay.
If he does not return it, is he chayav to pay the owner?
Sure. What do you mean? Of course, he's a shomer. He borrowed something, he has to give it back. Okay. Rabbi says, boy, this is an awful complicated case to be simple. How about if we try a different approach over here? Can we go back? You said it's talking about Toveach HaYadei Acherim. That led you to the problem of, so what about the Rabbanan? Which led you into saying, well, the Rabbanan actually agreed with Rabbi Shimon, which then creates this whole issue, and why then according to Rabbi Shimon? Please. It's not talking about that somebody else did the thing. Leona b'Toveach HaYadei Atzmo. You're saying if it was Toveach HaYadei Atzmo, so then Rabbi Meir, what about the problem of the Kamlai ben Rab? I mean, Rabbi Meir indeed holds of Loka u'mishalim, itle. Meit u'mishalim, letle. He does not hold that there's no din of Kamlai ben Rab. I mean, so you're saying, so then why exactly would you be chayav in these cases of Shilchul Shabbos, of Avodah Zorah, Shaini Hani the Chiddush Shechidshat Torah Biknas, that Afa Gav the Nikto Mishalim. This is a unique case. The Torah indeed tells us in this particular case you would pay anyway. And this is Rabba L'Shitato. This is Rabba L'Taim. The Omer Rabba. Rabba says in the following interesting case, you had a Gedi that you had stolen, and you went ahead and you were tovar b'Shabbat. In that case, you would be chayev. Why? Shekvar nitchayev b'gneva kodem shiavo lidei isur Shabbat. We need to distinguish between the keren, which I pay not as a knas, but as any standard hezek, and the components of the arba'a v'chamisha. When it says to pay back four or five times, it means four or five times inclusive of the original amount, correct? Now, in this case, if I had already stolen before Shabbat, that means I was chayev already for the gneva. If I go ahead and I do the tficha on Shabbat, I'm adding the component of knas to a keren that already existed. Knas, I'm chayev. Knas, I'm chayev, and therefore I pay again the total of arba v'chamisha. But let's say that I did the actual geneva together with the tficha mechira over here, then I've got a problem. Because if there's no chiyuv on the geneva because it was involved in chilul Shabbat, then there would also be no chiyav on the tvicha. Why? Because the Torah says you have to pay four or five, but it never says you have to pay three or four. So it's either four or five or both. So if I don't have the component of the keren, I don't have anything. I can't just pay the knas. I can only pay the knas in addition to the keren. Therefore, if the gedi was ganuv lo from before Shabbat, it was Friday, at that moment you're chayim in the keren. You then go ahead and you do the tvicha on Shabbos, which means there was no chiyav of mammon through an iser Shabbat. There was only a chiyav of the knas. The knas, that you're chayim on Shabbat. But and the same thing would be true in a case where a guy, or let me just say, read inside. But on the other hand, gona v'tavach b'Shabbat patur shim ein geneva. If there's no chiyav on the geneva, then there's also ein tvicha v'ein mechira. There can't be shalosh v'arba'a. There can only be arba'a v'chamisha.
But nothing to do with kimoi b'derav.
No, yes to do with kimoi b'derav. If I'm not chayav on the geneva component because of kimoi b'derav, then I can't be chayav on the knas because I won't have arba'a v'chamisha. Even though there's no kimle b'rabim on the knas, there's another problem because on the keren there was kimle b'rabim. So this shows very clearly Rava's distinction between keren and knas. So mamon is a din of kimle b'rabim. And he's saying knas over here, because it's a chiddush, there's no din of kimle b'rabim. Now obviously that creates additional problems in our Mishnah because rape is also a knas, so why don't you pay for raping your daughter, if that's the case, which we're going to get. But right now, to answer the problem in understanding Rabbi Meir, the Machlokas, Rabbi Meir, and the Rabbanan, says, Rabbi, look, you guys, you missed the boat over here. Rabbi Meir is talking about a case of loka mishalim only in, mesu mishalim only in cases of knas. That's true, because there's no kimle ben rabim when it comes to knas. What about our mission about to be discussed later? Okay, I'll give you another example, says Rav about this. V'yomar Rav, haya gedi ganuv lo, suppose you had already stolen a gedi. Now you come along, utvacho b'machteret. You now go into a machteret, into the other guy's rishus, which immediately frees you to be shot. Because if somebody finds a burglar, he doesn't argue with him, he shoots. That's a bit of a baba machteret. But that means that anybody who does a maisa in a machteret is taking his life in his hands. So he's basically always in a matzav of kimle ben rabimine. Despite the fact that he does the tvicha now while he's in the state of a machteret, at that time he's now, his dam is hutar, so it's like a kimle ben rabimine. He would nonetheless be chayev arba v'chamisha. Why? Because the keren component he did outside of the machteret, and there wasn't a kimle ben rabimine, so he's got arba v'chamisha. But if he actually steals the gedi through coming to a machteret, he'd be potter on the tashlumin of the keren for the gedi, because the machteret was matir his life for the guy to shoot him, and in that case he's potter because kimle ben rabim. Then when he does the tvicha b'machteret, even though on knas is no ptur of kimle ben rabim, but there you got the other problem. Arba'a v'chamisha amra torah v'lo shlusha v'arba'a. So it's the same thing. It looks like the same thing. It seems to be repetitious. No, it says, but it's not repetitious. It's because of its tzricha. I need both cases. One indicating chilul Shabbat and one indicating baba machter. Because let's say Rabbi would only have told us the din of Shabbat. It's okay, Shabbat is an actual chiyav misa, which is Yisur Olam. 5 years later, we bring testimony that he had gotten Adra and so on. He'll be killed 5 years later. But a baba machteret, his life is only freed at the moment that he's in the machteret. The moment that he leaves the machteret, you can't kill him anymore. Because you're killing him basically because I don't argue with people that break into my house. I just shoot. You never know what they're going to do. You sit there and argue with them. Be nice to them. Hey, maybe you'd like to leave, buddy. I'm going to call the police. Pow, pow. So therefore, the Torah was matir him. But the moment that he goes out, so now he's not chayav misa. I said, that's not called chayav misa. And it's just like an accident that had somebody killed him, that person would be potter. No, so that's not the same thing. Machteret, Yisur Sha'ani, Emalo. On the other hand, I might say, If I only told you the machteret, I would say, look, anybody who goes into a machteret does not require hatra'ah. Goes into machteret, I'm allowed to shoot him without hatra'ah. So machtarto hi hatra'ato, the very fact that he's digging under my house, of course, nothing literally digging, but in any case where the guy's breaking into my home in a way that I may discover him, I can shoot him. So if that's the case, it's like you already got hatra'ah, mashenke by Shabbat, over there you buy hatra'ah, the guy over here now is doing something without, maybe there's no p'tur of kimle, but aim alo, therefore tzrich yishano, same halacha in both cases.
Out of the
machteret, I can't shoot him anymore.
So what
does Asra have to do? No, Asra is just an indication that he's really freed up to be killed. In the case of Shabbat, he's not freed up to be killed because there's no hatra'ah. It's just a theoretical killing. The machteret is a real killing.
Virtual.
Anybody can. Yeah, it's a virtual killing, exactly. Omer of Papa. If Papa comes along and tells us this grand chiddush, which seems to be completely repetitious of Rava, Omer of Papa, hey, you know what? If a guy had a parah that he had stolen, and that was before Shabbos, and then he shechted it on Shabbos, then he would be chayev, because he was already chayev in Geneva before he was chayev in the Shabbos. If he had a parah that he had borrowed, and then he shechts it on Shabbos, so then he would be patur, because in that case, the moment that he became chayev in the Karen was when he killed it on Shabbos, and therefore he was chayev on all five things, but it was a kibble ben rabbi, they had the carrot component, and then we're left with arba v'chabisha v'lo shlosha v'arba. Omele Ravacha b'reda rabba l'ravashi. Wow, what a great finish! I mean, after all, Rabba only talked about a gedi. Rav Papa talks about a pora. That's brilliant. Who would ever have thought? I guess Rav Papa pora aslashina. Now, Rav Papa's got to teach us that this is not only true about a gedi, it's also true about a pora. Come off it, man. What is Rav Papa talking about? Amalei, you missed the point. Rav Papa is saying something beautiful. It's the she'ula atalash, where the second piece. Rabbi didn't talk about a she'ula. Rav Papa wants to tell you, look, Sarka Daidachamina, the reason this is such a big chiddush is because I might have thought that according to Rav Papa, who Yuva Omer Rav Papa. You see, elsewhere, Rav Papa says that the din is that Mishat Mishicharu did chayev leib mizonotean. The case that is being referred to over here is similar to a case of Lokin Umishalmin. And the case is that you, normally when you prevent an animal from eating at the time that it's working, you get malchus because of Lotachsom Shor Badisha. You're not allowed to put a muzzle over an ox while it's working. Now, the Gemara in Bav Metzia brings a braita where it says that somebody who does this, he covers over the mouth of a parah, and he ends up doing a disha. Not only does he get malchus, but he also has to pay to the owner the value of the food that he would have had to pay to give to this shor. He has to pay to the owner in the case where he had rented the shor. And the Gemara over there asked, but I thought you don't get both malchus and pay. To which Rav Papa replied, the malchus you chayev only at the time of the lav, but the muzon that you promised to give to the animal comes from the original moment of the rental, where as soon as you took the shor into your reshus, your chayev and the mizonot. When the chayev of malchus is only later on, when you did the actual chasimas. You might have thought, and the same thing would be true in this case, that misha'at she'elayit chayev ba'onseha. Now, just like over there, you were chayev for the food at the moment of the mirshicha, you too at the moment that you rented it, your chayev in the onasim that would take place in case the animal died. Kamash Milan, therefore, Papa has to come to tell you that when it comes to the she'ela, you're not really chayev b'pual until such time as you actually destroyed the shor by doing the tvicha. Now, therefore, it's not comparable. That I am chayev, I'm a color case. Where he niach lemaviyem para she'ula. A guy borrowed a para and then he died. Not the para, the fund. Leaving his heirs with a para that didn't belong to him. So they can use it. Turns out to be shula. They can use it, b'shtamshim ba'kol yimei she'elata. But if the para dies, meita ein chayavim ba'onsa. They are not chayev because they are not the shoel. The father was the shoel, and they never accepted the responsibility on this thing. But suppose they never found out it was borrowed, and kisfurim shalaviyami, they thought it was their father's borrow, and they shechted it and ate it. So v'tavchua v'yachlua. So what's the din over there? Mishalmim d'mei basar bizol. In that case, they had no indication that they were chayev, but they were nene, and therefore they paid for their hana'a, which is the price of the meat value of that pora at a wholesale part. Wholesale. On the other hand, if the father had leftover real estate, oh, then you get into a problem, because then there was already a lien against his property for the borrowing of the borrow. And in that case, chayavim l'shalem, then they would have to actually pay out of the father's real estate, because it's the estate that's paid. Now, which case would they have to pay? Now, ika d'matin la'resha, v'ika d'matin la'seifa. There were two different things, remember, that Rava said. The first case was they didn't realize that it had been borrowed, and they're not chayev if it died. Or even if they had realized it was borrowed, it died, they're not chayev. Or the other case was they didn't realize it was borrowed, and they shechted it. Now, is it saying that even in the case where it died, and he left real estate, that they have to actually pay back from the estate? Or is it going only on the last piece where they went ahead and shechted it, which is a little bit, that's taking something of a risk. Now wait, don't you think before you shecht it, you ought to find out whether it belonged to him? I mean, over here, you're using, you had a right to use it. But over here, you're continuing to do something which, I mean, that wasn't innate in your father's death, that you have a right to shecht the pora that you find and eat it without finding out to whom it belongs. So that's the question. Some learn it's on the resha. Some learn it's only on the seifa. So manda matin la resha, if you say that the estate has now a lien against it, and that's even if the poor dies, the kosher cannot seifa, where the idiots went ahead and didn't bother asking, was this really our father's poor? They actively killed it, so for sure estate is going to have to pay.
Who should they ask? Father to do it. Who can know about this?
Who can know?
Right.
There you go. But if that would be true, then it would be plige ad repapa. Repapa said that the chiev is only at the moment that something happened to it, correct? Not from the time of the she'ela. Because we said that therefore there's no problem in the case of the Karen. I'm chayev on the Karen in the other earlier case of Tzvichu Mechira, only when I go ahead and shecht it. If, in fact, that was an earlier chiev that was based on the original borrowing that creates a lien against me, so if that created a lien against me, then I was chayev on the Karen before Shabbos. So why would there be Arba V'Chamisha? V'lo Shlosha V'Arba? This would be a case of Arba V'Chamisha. So then that would argue on Rav Papa. If he's only saying it on the Seifa, but not in the Reisha, it's because in the Reisha, the fact is that the real estate does not cover the death of the animal, even though it was an onus, and a shoel is normally chayav an onus, that doesn't matter. I'm not the shoel. My father was the shoel. I didn't do anything. So I didn't do anything. How are you going to be able to chayav my estate? Now, according to the shita that would be saying that, what do you mean? It's nothing to do with your doing. It's the fact that there was a lien against the estate. I'm very sorry. But your father died leaving a lien for this pora, and this pora didn't survive. Now, you couldn't return it, so the estate's going to pay it. What's the problem? So clearly, if you're only saying it where I did something wrong, then you're agreeing with Rav Papa, because that's what Rav Papa said when it came to the din of Tvicha Umechira. And therefore, I would be, in this case, in Eresha, potter, because I didn't do anything. V'hainu d'Rav Papa. So now we have a fascinating machlokas about the Mishnah. Does the Mishnah, in our Masechta, come to exclude the Shita of the Rabbanan, and it's going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, which is what Rish Lakish claims, or is it going, I'll leave it to Rabbanan, and we need to be mechalik between a case of Malkus v'Tashlumin, either be mechalik by the Hatra'ah, as Rabbi Yochanan does, or be mechalik about whether there's a Chiyuv Mamon as Ula does. That's a very fundamental question. Do we say that our Mishnah is against, not only against the Shita of Shimon HaTimni, and not only against the Shita of Rav Shiri ben Adasya, and not only against Rav Nechunya ben Hakana, it's also against the Shita of the Rabbana, which is basically what Rish Lakish is saying. Very, very unique Mishnah, and it cancels everybody else's day. Or, according to Rabbi Yochanan, no, let's not go that far. Certainly I'll leave it to Rabbanan. So, says the Gemara, look, I mean, I understand that obviously in this machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, I mean, Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't want to say Rish Lakish is pshat, because according to Rish Lakish, the Mishnah's not going according to Rabbanan. So basically, Rabbi Yochanan lomar Rish Lakish to come mukim la Rabbanan. He wants the Mishnah to work out according to the Rabbanan, and therefore he says, we can't say the Mishnah's the das of Rabbi Meir or all for the Mishalmi. But according to Rish Lakish, why does Rish Lakish want to say that our Mishnah is only the das of Rabbi Meir? You could easily have answered it either the way Ula does or the way Rabbi Yochanan does. I mean, what forces you to take such a drastic step? Why can't you say it's talking about without Hatra'ah? So my time of the Amak Rabbi Yochanan, agree with Rabbi Yochanan. It's talking about there's no Hatra'ah. No, says Rish Lakish. No way. Because given the Ilu Atrabei Potter, Kilo Atrabei Nami Potter. When it comes to Kol Nebid Rabbi Mineh, of Misa, do you need Hasra to say there's a Kol Nebid Rabbi Mineh? Of course not. You don't need an actual carrying out of the Misa. You only need that the thing that you did is something that is theoretically a Chiyav of Misa. That's true about Malkus also. What are you coming to tell me that the answer and the contradiction between the Mishnah in Makot and the Mishnah here in Ketuvot and the fact that it says Kedei Rishato and can have either one or the other is the question of whether you gave Hatra'ah or not? That's certainly not true when it comes to issues of Kamalei B'Rabim. I mean, Hatra'ah is a non-issue, right? It's the fact that this is such and such the kind of Avera that you did. That's true about Malkus and Mishalmim also. You can't get out of the problem, Malkus Mishalmim, Ein Lokin and Mishalmim, by telling me there was no Hatra'ah. I'm sorry. Any more than you'd be able to get out of the problem of Kamalei B'Rabim with Misa. So is that a valid approach? And therefore, Kilo Atrabe Nami Potter. If you had given him Atrabe, would be Potter, because Kidei Risha Tata Machaiba Velo Kidei Shtei Risha Ayot, then you would be Potter even in the case in which you didn't give him Malkus. And this boils down to the famous Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish as to whether there is in fact a Ptur by Lokan and Mishalmim without Atra'ah. The Ozdol Ta'amayu, the Chiyater of Dimi Omar, Chayve Mitot Shogigin. How about in a case where you didn't even mean to do the chait? See, obviously you didn't get Hatra'ah. It's Hatra'ah that creates absolute hazadah. So over here you did something literally b'shogeg. Something that was b'chayev yumisa. And chayve malkus shogegin. Or something that was literally would have been b'chayev yumalkus, but it's literally b'shogeg. So clearly you're not going to become chayev. And something else, the davar acher. So you did either of those two things with something that was Machayev you, mama. In the case of our Mishnah, perhaps you raped a woman not even knowing who it was. It was a complete shogeg. It turned out to be your daughter. So you're putter on the knas. It's not good to be a rapist. You never know who your victim is. So you'd be putter on the knas because you're having is a shogeg. But then you'd also be putter on the knas if it was your sister. Because chayve malke shogeg. So says Rish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan says, you'd be chayev. That makes sense. Rabbi Yochanan holds you chayev, so he now has got the problem over here. That's why he is able to answer this question by saying there's a difference if you got Hatra'ah or not. If you got Hatra'ah, so then you'd be part of it. You didn't get Hatra'ah, you chayev. If you didn't get Hatra'ah, that explains why we give you a moment. But Rish Lakish is ridiculous. Even if you didn't get Hatra'ah, you'd be potter. There's got to be another reason. It must be going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. It fits in perfectly. And Rish Lakish, Amar Patur. Rabbi Yochanan says, what do you mean? You're chayev. You're not going to be getting in the Malkus anyway. You're not going to be getting the Misa anyway. Holo Atrabe. You never get Hatra'ah. What potters you? Rish Lakish, Amar Potter. Kiva de Ilo Atrabe Potter. Since had you gotten the Hatra'ah, you certainly would have been potter, because either Kimle ben Rabbi Meir on the Misa, or Bechdei Rishato Risha'achat on the Malkas, Kilo Atrabein Nami potter. And tomorrow we will see more of this last exciting Makotas.